Okay, good evening, everybody, and welcome. It is June 22nd, 2022, and my name is Mary Julia Johnson, and I am calling the City Council meeting to order. If you will please stand with me to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right. So I'll begin with roll call. Chuck is not with us tonight. He is looking to be excused. And if there is no, I will accept it as a motion. Yep. If nobody has any. Okay. All right. We've excused Chuck. All right. Brendan McGoffin.
Present.
Councilwoman Diamond.
Present.
Councilman Burns.
Present.
Councilwoman Kesty.
Present.
Councilman Allen.
Present.
Councilman Lavaca.
Present.
Great. Thank you. Welcome all. Okay. Approval of the agenda. I am looking for a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Councilman Burns, second by Councilman McGoffin. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Council or consent agenda items 1 through 9. Do I have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I will second that motion.
Thank you. So I have a motion by Councilwoman Kesty, second by Councilman Lavaca. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, well, tonight is another special night. We are going to be swearing in our new sergeant. So if Sergeant, well, I'm calling you that before you are, right? But if Zach Carroll will come forward.
If you will raise your right hand. I, Zachary Carroll.
I, Zachary Carroll.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And all local ordinances.
And all local ordinances.
And I will faithfully and impartially.
I will faithfully and impartially.
Perform and discharge.
Perform and discharge.
The duties of office.
The duties of office.
Of police sergeant.
Of police sergeant.
For the city of Cedar Woolley.
For the city of Cedar Woolley.
Skagit County, Washington.
Skagit County, Washington.
According to law.
According to law.
The best to my ability and understanding.
Best to my ability and understanding.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Sergeant. Yeah.
There's cake waiting for you in the other room. Okay, that was lovely. All right, we're going to move right into city administrator report. Good evening, Charlie.
Good evening, Mayor Johnson and Council. No report this evening.
All right, moving on to council member and mayor's report. And I will begin with you, Councilman McGoffin.
No report this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Diamond?
No report this evening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Burns?
Just want to remind everybody that the Loggerode is going ahead as planned and that we are going to have a real 4th of July parade this year. So if you haven't signed up and you want to get a float in there, do so soon.
Yay. Congratulations. Thank you. And Councilwoman Kesty?
Well, since it's the last meeting before the 4th, I just wanted to wish everybody a happy and safe 4th and thank all of our volunteers, our service clubs, and our city employees who put this event together for all of us to enjoy.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Allen.
No report.
All right. Thank you. Councilman LaVacca.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the Parks and Recreation, I was going to report that things are going, it seems like, really nicely for around here with the parks. And we've seen some really good things coming out from that. So I think I'll be working with Mark to set up another meeting coming up. And that'd be awesome to do. And we're looking forward to a great weekend coming up as part of that.
I know, our first real summer, right?
Yeah, right. Parades, yeah. Rodeos, logger rodeos. So that looks like a lot of fun. The YMCA had their opening today, and that was very, I wasn't able to attend, but I've got a lot of friends that work over there and are very excited. And I know a lot of people that will be using it, and they say it's turned out beautiful. So that looks like a really awesome thing. It's awesome. It's right next to a, going to be a beautiful park as well. Thank you.
Yeah, I was there today, actually. So it was very nice. I had a chance to be a part of the ribbon cutting, and Charlie was there as well to see the ribbon cutting. But there was a great turnout, and there were a lot of representatives that showed up. And I am very excited and really looking forward to what this is going to offer the youth of our community and what that's going to mean for our community. So just one last thing regarding the Y before we move away from that. They are going to have an open house on Saturday. So if you want a chance to kind of go in and get a tour and see what it's all about and ask questions, you can certainly do that. Okay. Now we will move
Mayor,
on.
Mayor, do you know what time, or is it just all day?
I do know what time. And if you can bear with me one moment, I can let you know that. On Saturday, it will be 10:30 to 1:30. Okay. It is 6:06. Wow, we're zipping along here, aren't we? And it is time for public comment. Is there anybody who'd like to make public comment? Good evening, Phil.
My name is Phil Murray. I stay at Woodward. I'm wondering why the city is still mowing railroad right of way. That is a private industry. They're using taxpayers' money to mow.
Do you have the, is the button on? Is the blue?
I don't. My job.
Okay.
The city took out the railroad tracks over there, and I'm wondering how they could spend taxpayers' money taking out railroad tracks. I've called the Transportation Board of Commerce, and that is a live track. I called the railroad. They said that is a live track that they did not, the city did not have permission to take that out. Now, I ask your people, they have a verbal contract to do this. There are no verbal contracts with the city. It says that on your wall in there, and I'm getting real tired of this run around. I ask for public records. I do not get public records. I get excuses. You give me no records. My street over there on Eastern Avenue, there's no public record that says it was ever given to the city. Yet you tore everything out over there. You built it up a foot and a half high. I got to block it so I can get my motorhome in and out. If I rip that off, it's 12 grand for a used one, plus the repair costs. It's absolutely ridiculous what the city's doing. And the other thing is, the mayor is getting a raise. Five people were appointed, and I believe the mayor appointed them. Do you have any relationships with any of those people, friendships, family working with them, or anything like that? And do these people live in the city limits? Are they legal voters in the city limits? Because I know some of them don't live here. And it's just wrong how that went about. I think, and I only get 3 minutes and I'm about done. You only get 72 minutes in a year to talk, and I could go on for days with the stuff that the city does. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Is there anybody else online? Seeing none. It is 6:08, and I will close our public comment. Now on to public hearing. This is for the 2023-2028 Transportation Improvement Program, the TIP. So, Mr. Freiberger, I believe you are on.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the time of year when we review our internal transportation improvement plans for the next 6 years. We do this annually. It is required that we prepare a TIP that includes any projects that would have federal funding in them. And those, after they're approved at the local level, or they go to the Skagit Council of Governments for review and approval of that area or that jurisdiction, and then on to the state to be included in the overall TIP for the state of Washington. And what that does is it makes our projects that are listed eligible for federal funding. So it's important that we do this. And this year we've basically updated the TIP from last year. No major changes. I have summarized that, those in the memorandum that you have. And Bill, could you go ahead and go to the next slide, please? I can't really read that from here. I don't know if you can. So I'll just handle it verbally. That's too small to really give you much of a hint of what's going on with this. So there in the documents that you have, there are several things included. The most important of those is the 2023 to 2028 project TIP project list. That includes projects for that date range that we would anticipate funding through state and federal funds and moving forward for grant applications. The main focus for the projects that you will see in the list there is the Jones-John Liner Corridor projects. That's a series of eight, now nine projects that will connect Jones and John Liner Road as a continuous east-west corridor from SR9 on the east side of the city and down to near where F&S Grade Road and John Liner Jones intersect, and then down a new alignment on Trail Road to Cook Road. And that will relieve about 7,000 vehicles a day of volume from State Route 20 when that's complete. In addition to those projects, the corridor, that's the main projects you'll see in that six-year period. We also have an annual overlay project in there that's funded essentially by our transportation benefit district funds. And then we also will have other odds and ends, smaller projects that kind of fill in the gaps around that. Since last year, basically the changes have been to move the dates around. We've been actively seeking funding for the quarter projects. We haven't had any success with the undercrossing project yet. We've submitted attempted to submit two federal applications so far this year, and we have the TIB program coming up in August as well, which I'll be bringing back to you to discuss later. We did, however, receive TIB funding, Transportation Improvement Board funding, for the intersection improvements at Highway 9 and John Liner Road, and that project's under design and will construct in 2023, and that is the east end of the corridor projects. So on the TIP, projects that are funded go off of it, so you don't actually see that project there any longer. That one's still on, but the one at Highway 20 and Township, which is under construction right now, that one's off the TIP, but the other one is still on. But it will disappear after the construction project obligates in 2023. Bill, would you go in to, there's a map showing the corridor projects. I'll just put that up on the screen for a second. It's about five or six slides in. Well, that doesn't seem to be working tonight. Apologize for that. You have in the end of your packet some maps that show the various projects that make up the quarter project and then some copies of a tabulation of the 6-year and the extended 14-year illustrative tip are in there as well that kind of projected on out for a full 20-year period. So tonight, there's no action on this, the public hearing, and then the first reading, which I'm describing to you now, and you'll have another look at this on the 27th of July. It is due to the Council of Governments on the 28th, and apologize for not bringing it to you earlier than that for the second read, but I will be on vacation the first 2 weeks of July. So if you have any questions about the tip, I'd be glad to address those now.
Are there any questions by the council for Mr. Freiberger? Yes, Councilman McGoffin.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. I just had one question about the TIB funding. I know at one point the voters had chosen to like eliminate it, and then the state legislature, I haven't heard anything about it since. Do you know, 'cause at one point we were talking about we can't depend on that funding, but it seems to have come back as a permanent option. Do we foresee being able to use that in the future?
So the Transportation Improvement Board is pretty safe. There was some discussion of that at the state level. It was an attempt by some legislators to just roll it into the Department of Transportation, which would have been a disaster for local agencies like ours, because the state's transportation needs are basically unending, and so the funds would probably get subsumed in that. But that died in legislature, and our legislators and most of the state legislators actually consider that a very attractive program, because it does spread the 3 cents of the gasoline tax throughout the whole state for agencies. So it's a pretty popular program. I don't see any risks to that particular program. And in addition to that, other main funding sources we have, about $2.25 million every year are obligated through the Council of Governments and federal funds. And those are competitively applied for by the various jurisdictions in Skagit County. And we're generally fairly successful with those funds. And those are the two main sources of funds for the projects we do in the area. There are right now, there's the $2.25 trillion Infrastructure Investment Act funds that we hear so much about from the administration. We've had difficulty being able to apply for those because they are pretty well geared towards major urban areas that have environmental justice issues, which is a good thing to be dealing with. And also intelligent transportation systems that kind of the smoke and mirrors type things that go on in more urban areas. And they're not well suited in terms of the application for the local agencies. But we're actually actively talking to the congressman's office about that and seeing if they can make some change on that in the rules for the next round of those, which will happen in 2023. So,
thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, I will open this up for public testimony. Is there anybody either online or in chamber here who would like to give testimony regarding the 2023 through 2028 TIP project? Okay, seeing none and seeing nobody online, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Give the council one last chance to ask any questions. Okay, hearing none, then I'm going to close this public hearing. And Mark, you said this is first reading, so this will come back to us on the 27th. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Come back.
All right. Thank you. Moving on then to unfinished business, the Urban Village Mixed Use Overlay Parking Regulations. And Mr. Coleman, I think this is you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. So this is our second read that the Council's had on proposed changes to the Urban Village Mixed Use Parking Regulations. started off with a request from two developers that own property in the urban village area and requesting to allow shared parking and using on-street parking as a part of their development. We talked about this at length at the last council meeting, so I'm just kind of getting an overview for those that are in the audience. After the city council reviewed this thoroughly at the last council meeting, the council had asked for planning to possibly make some changes to the proposed ordinance to allow 10% shared parking between commercial and residential uses. So as I put this together, I did some of the math, what it would look like in the field if we did 10%. So what I elected to do was make, we could have either said 10% of the residential is shared, like we can have a 10% reduction in residential or a 10% in commercial. I chose 10% in commercial because commercial is it's a little tougher to determine what that parking amount is going to be because it depends a lot on the use. And so I wanted to have more control over how much commercial parking there is. So that's why I'm tying the reduced amount to the commercial part. And so you can see that I kind of gamed out in the narrative here saying if we did 10% as was suggested by the council for one particular project that is going on, they're required 117 spaces for residential and they're required 31 spaces for commercial. So if it was a 10% reduction in commercial spaces, that would only be a reduction in 3 spaces. So that's pretty small. So I kicked that up to 20% in this case, that would be a reduction of 6 parking spaces. And now that's just my suggestion based on the input that the council had given at the last council meeting. If you feel like you wanted to go to 30% or back to 10%, that's entirely up to the city council. I just was trying to kind of look into the, my magic ball and see what the council might want. So this was my best estimation of what you might be comfortable with. So that is the first change that is made to the ordinance based on the council's input. The other change was to put a requirement that one of the required parking spaces shall be maintained as a parking space for standing, loading, and unloading services. So that would be if someone's coming in making a delivery to the residents, to one of the residents there, or if, whether it's furniture loading or Uber Eats or something like that, or somebody just dropping in to give their mom drop off dinner for their mom or something, who knows? So one, we'll call it a sort of a transient spot that has time limitations and put some provisions in there that the owners would have to maintain that as a loading and unloading spot. So hopefully that addressed what the council was trying to address. And those were the two changes that were proposed. Happy to answer any questions. I realize it gets a little complicated.
Yeah, thank you, John. Yes, go ahead, Councilman Allen.
So on-street parking is totally gone now, right?
So the Planning Commission, this ordinance is based on what the Planning Commission recommended, and the Planning Commission did not recommend any counting on-street parking as part of the development's required parking. So that did not make it into the first draft of what the city council saw. This is just amendment of the first draft to include the provisions that the council had discussed at the last meeting.
It's just a little frustrating to me, John, that when they got their permits to build these, they didn't just fall off the turnip truck. I mean, they've got a lot of people work for them, and to come along at the end and then, you know, want to tweak it. It doesn't settle quite right with me. I could probably go with the 10%, three stalls. But, you know, I think we need parking for the people, the residents there.
Okay, yes, Councilwoman Kesty.
I'd like to make a motion to deny the requested parking amendments and pass Resolution 1099-22 as presented.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table to deny the ordinance 2011-22 to adopt the amendments for parking requirements for the urban village mix. Is there a second?
Madam Mayor, I'll second that.
Okay. So is there discussion regarding this?
I can give my sense is that at this point, we don't have an urban village to go off of. And if we are pushing for our commercial to have good business and for people to come and go, we don't want to limit the amount of parking spaces needed for people to be coming to work and people to be coming to utilize those spaces. We also need to have proper amount of spaces for the people that live there. And the reality is this isn't an urban area. And so the fact that there's also additional apartment complexes that are intended to go in that area with additional density, my thought process is that, you know, when this stuff starts to happen, if for some reason there's a huge area of parking that is not utilized in any way, shape or form, that, you know, maybe they could come back in and put in a basketball court or something for their community there that's been created. But right now, I think we need to play it safe and make sure that everybody has proper parking, residential and commercial. And that if there is an overflow, it's not being pushed onto private businesses and other private entities, because that is what's happening in current apartment complexes right now. I've personally driven through many of them in city limits lately, trying to understand how some of that is working. And there are many times, several times a day, there is not a single parking spot available. And those additional parking spots are being put then on other businesses, on in their parking lots, as well as on side streets. And those cars are obstructing views of the people that are exiting those businesses, and that creates a liability as well, and the possibility of motor vehicle accidents or somebody being hurt. It also makes it very difficult for first responders to be able to come in and access people that might need help at the businesses and at the residences. And so that is my thought process.
All right, thank you. Councilman McGoffin.
I actually had a couple of questions. Am I allowed to ask questions during the discussion? Mm-hmm. Okay. John, I meant to call you today. I ran out of time. I had a couple of questions. At the recommendation of Councilwoman Kesty, I tried to go back and watch as many of the Planning Commission videos as possible. And there's a few things that stood out to me that I just was hoping to talk to you about. One of the big ones is some of the commissioners talked about, you know, the parking was already limited as much as possible for the UVMU. Is that correct? Like, it was the number that was pitched was already a narrowed down amount.
So I believe what you're alluding to is when the UVMU regulations were created, the Planning Commission already chose pretty low numbers for the number of parking spaces per residential unit. It would be lower than, say, in our R15 zone. So yes, it already is a lower number than in other standard neighborhoods.
Okay, thank you. The other question that I had was, have they talked about any sort of like bus solutions or things that would alleviate parking issues? I didn't see that in the site plans, and the developers talk about, you know, the urban village being less vehicles, but in Cedar Woolley, a lot of people drive vehicles, and we do have the SCAT system, but if they're not building in bus stops, I don't see how that's going to alleviate fewer cars. Was that ever discussed?
As part of this proposal, the reduction proposal that came out last year, I don't recall any discussion of providing any, you know, private bus services beyond SCAT.
Okay, thank you. And just my final question was, the overflow is what I've heard a lot of issues about. You know, we've never really done one of these before, so we can't calculate exactly how it's going to work on the first try. But there's a lot of businesses around that area that would be negatively impacted. And the Janicki playfields, you know, when those surges happen, you know, where's this parking going to overflow and how it's going to negatively affect property owners that have been there for a long time as well. And I was just curious, we didn't really build in anything to handle overflow if that does happen. I saw there were some recommendations, but that was one of the reasons that I'm leaning a little bit away from this. I know we had talked about the 10%, but after watching the videos, it seems more and more like we gave a good deal with the parking already, and to limit it more would have a potential impact on existing businesses. So those are my 2 cents. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yes, Councilman Burns.
I just wanted to say that I drove around, looked at a few of our apartment complexes to kind of gauge whether or not this was a good idea. And like Sarah, I noticed that they were usually full or really close to it, some overflowing onto the street with parking, seeing people cross the road from other parking lots heading to the apartments. And that kind of showed me that this probably isn't a great idea. And especially knowing now that they lowered the number for them in the first place, I really don't think that this is a good use of our time to keep going with this. I feel like they already got a reduction in the parking spaces. Let's see how it works out with this building and find out if it was a good idea or not to give them that reduction.
All right, thank you. Councilman Lavaca, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
I had traveled to some units along my little vacation that were the UGM places, and they get pretty crowded as is. And for my, the apartments are slightly different because it's residential and it's hard to go see a friend and whatnot because you don't want to take up somebody's spot. But when you're going to do business or you're going to go and check out, walk the dog at the in town, get some ice cream, it's crowded in those general areas, even though that's not exactly downtown. So I would lean against adding more parking. And, you know, considering what our town looks like with the dense parking anyways, just in being downtown, we'll experience that here next weekend and see what that looks like. So I would agree with the council on, let's see what it looks like over there. And if they so are inclined, maybe we can work with them on a parking garage permit or whatnot. If people plan on building more in that area, if that's what the idea is in that zone to densify it, then that might be an option, but I wouldn't be for it.
Okay. So if there are no more comments, we do have a motion on the table. It was placed by Councilwoman Kesty, seconded by Councilwoman Diamond, and it is a motion to deny adoption of Ordinance 2021-22 to adopt amendments to the parking requirements in the Urban Village Mixed-Use Overlay Regulation Chapter 17.21 of the Cedar Woolley Municipal Code. So... all those in favor, signify.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. So motion carries.
Thank you very much.
All right, moving on to new business. Let me see here. We have a change order 6 contract 2021. It's the Public Works. Mr. Freiberger, this is yours.
Thank you, Mayor. In your packet is a memorandum titled Change Order 6 Contract 2021 PW02 Faber Construction. This is for the wastewater treatment plant, lab ops building, and public works building project that's currently under construction down at the wastewater plant vicinity. Just a little history on this. We awarded a contract to Faber Construction on August the 26th of 2021 to construct those two buildings and a limited amount of site improvements in the vicinity of those buildings. Bill has put up on the screen an aerial photo that shows the vicinity of the site. I'm going to come over there a little closer to the screen and talk about this. So this is 3rd Street and Alexander Street. The wastewater treatment plant is located just to the south and west of that. The new project is constructing two buildings, the new wastewater lab operations building, and then across parking area, we'll be constructing our public works operations facility with the shops in it. As part of the original contract, we were attempting to not just build the building, but also improve the yard around that. This is about a 4-acre site altogether that we're developing, and construct a vehicle storage building as well. But remember, due to budget concerns, as we developed the estimates and got ready to go to bid, we had to take certain things out of the project, including the site improvements in the larger area and the building itself. After we closed bids, we found that we had some surplus funds. The architect's estimate was very conservative. And so we've been working all along with the idea in mind that if we could bring some of that work back into the contract, we would propose that to council. And I've been mentioning that to you over the months here as we progressed. We're about 75% complete with the overall project right now. And I've verified where we're at in terms of change orders and work yet to be completed. And I see that we have a fair amount of surplus funds available. And funding for this part of the project is from the OST local bond program for $4 million. Plus, we have some additional funds that were from the four accounts that are to pay back that bond fund over 20 years. About $298,000 a year is coming into the fund from rate revenue and a little bit from the general fund to pay that back over the 20-year period. Because we started getting ready for the project about 2.5 years prior to taking the actual bond out, our first bond payment wasn't due until this year, and that was one of Kelly's early first actions here, was to make that first bond payment. We have generated about a $760,000 amount in that that we won't have to use for bond payments. So what I'm proposing to do is use the remaining bond funds plus that balance to fund fund a change order, the change order we're talking about here, that will allow us to go ahead and base and pave the larger area around here and to prepare the site for the new building as a pad-ready site. All the utilities would be stubbed into it. The foundation level would already be excavated and brought back up with the specified materials, so that when we are able to find the additional funds to build that building, it's going to be fairly simple to do that, and we'll reduce the cost on it. As you know, we're experiencing significant inflation right now, and that's showing no signs of abating, at least for the next 12 months or so. And so getting as much of this done under the current contract, I think, is a pretty wise thing for us to do. We do have the funds available to do it. Now, in your packet, you've got a breakdown of the figures I put together on this. The amount of funds we have available is about $1.4 million. 1.416 million. This proposed change order is one of two things that go into making this work. Thank you, Bill, for doing. Go back to the previous slide.
this is again the large.
Next slide.
Anyway, I can work off of this one.
There we are. Thank you.
Thank you. This is the Public Works building that's under construction. In the original bid and contract, the only paving we had on this side of the yard was a small amount to allow us to access the mechanics bays and those kind of things. And this is the existing facility where Nathan and his crew reside currently. They'll be working out of the new office when this is done. This will remain a storage building for our operations. You can see the problem we would have. This site would be undeveloped, and we're going to be trying to operate out of that after we move everybody into this. And what we would not have complete is our fueling facility, which is included in the improvements I'm proposing, and the pavement in this area, and also the pavement north of the future structure for parking for the crews. To make all of that work, there's a number of things that go into it. We have to put in a storm drainage system. It basically is a series of catch basins and piping, and then an outfall into a wetlands, which is just off the page here, with the proper filtration system going along with that. It extends water improvements that we're building as a part of the main project into the site. We've already got them stubbed in to about here now, and it will carry them out and actually stub them to the south in preparation for a future phase that will be done when the wastewater treatment plant is expanded in 5 or 6 years, where we need to demolish the other buildings that Nathan's crew currently uses on the west side of this site. Those buildings will be demolished as part of an expansion of the plant to put another clarifier in. So that would be the time to look seriously at finishing this building. The reason for that building is to provide out of the weather storage for pieces of our equipment that have been stored outside. You've heard us talk about that quite a little bit, being able to get those $300,000 pieces equipment out of the weather, especially the solid waste trucks. We, with the new building, will have some capacity to do that. We'll get like the Vactor trucks, we'll take care of those, but we'll still have some other equipment that we're going to be shuffling around to keep out of the weather. And that's the purpose for this building when we can get around to that. In addition to the pad, there's some stormwater filtration systems up on the north. The stormwater from that area will go in here and out into our system that is planned for the main site. And we'll have another approach with a gate in it. So I had the contractor give us a proposal to do that. And that's what makes up proposed change order number 30, which is the main topic of discussion tonight. That's $760,000. So that does not use up the entire balance that we have available. The other thing that we had to delete from our bid contract was the improvements to the second floor of this building in the operations area. It included 3 offices and a restroom. And those were the offices for the 2 supervisors. In the short term, we were planning to have them use the offices that are in the downstairs part of this that were designed for the leads. So they would have been sharing offices. We have the opportunity now with the funds we have available to go ahead and finish that. And I've requested a price from Faber to do the finish work. They just got the plans for that about 2 weeks ago. So they haven't finished that yet. But I have talked to them about it in broad terms and got an order of magnitude estimate from them. And I have an estimate from the architect for that work. It's about $350,000. I didn't have it at the time I wrote the memo, but I assumed that we would come in about that rate, about $357,000, adding back to the $760,000 for proposed change order 30. The overall cost with sales tax is about $1,181,000. We have $1,416,000, so that leaves us a contingency of about $152,000. And I actually have some other funds within the main contract that I think are going to come in under estimate that will give us another cushion on top of that. Because there are a few things that I'm still negotiating on the contractor with. In the plans that they bid on, they were a preliminary version of these site improvements. The engineer had not provided some details on a few things like a stormwater filtration structure here. I just got those yesterday. And so the contractor has not had the opportunity to go back and revise his estimate for that. There's some funds involved in that. There is some doubt about this site in terms of unsuitable soils that I've made an allowance for in my estimate, and I think we have plenty of funds for it. I've talked to the contractor about our approach for when we encounter those, how we will handle it. And so those will be things we won't know until we actually start digging on the site. I know what the upper end is, and it's still within the budget. So I'm pretty comfortable to go ahead with recommending award of the proposed change order 30 to you tonight, and that's the subject of the memorandum. I think that's enough of the screen things I need to look at with you. The other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit with you is timing for this. They're about 70% complete with the contract, 70 to 75. They're scheduled to complete the work by the end of September of this year. So it's coming up rapidly on us. They put a condition on their estimate or their proposed change order to me that they would have to have approval for change order number 30 by tomorrow, basically the 24th, excuse me, by Friday, in order to complete the work within the existing contract completion date, which we want to do if at all possible, because we want to occupy this building and have full use of the site. So by approving change order 30 as it is tonight, we'll be able to do that. I'll be able to give them a notice to proceed with this work, and they can order the pipe and the manholes and that kind of stuff and make this happen according to that schedule. The thing that I do not know yet tonight is the timeline on the second floor improvements. There's plumbing fixtures in particular have been very hard to get recently. We had some delays in the original work due to that and some other things. I would like to be able to give them at least a verbal authorization to go ahead with the purchase of materials on the that part of the work too. Charlie and I haven't had a chance to talk about this in detail. Kelly and I have, but I know roughly where they're at on the bid, and I have the ability in negotiating this to take things out of the work if I need to keep it under budget. So, and I do have $150,000 contingency in the numbers you see here tonight. So, first thing I'm recommending is that according to the memorandum that you have, that you authorize the mayor to sign proposed change order number 30 to the agreement in the amount of $760,000, and then authorize me to direct the contractor to proceed with the work under PCO number 30. So that would be the first things we would request of you tonight. And then I would just like to discuss with you and see if you are willing to allow me to negotiate the building improvements, knowing that it's going to come back to you for final approval, and be able to at least move ahead with ordering that equipment. There's little risk in that with the numbers that I see right now, and it would allow us to make sure that they also complete that work as close to the end of September as is possible. Okay, so that's the request for you tonight, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer those.
Yes, go ahead, Councilman Burns.
Statement and question. I wasn't happy when I went with Nathan and heard that they weren't going to be finishing the second floor. So I would love to see that get done in a reasonable amount of time. So I'm with you on that. And just a question, when you were over here, you were talking about the fuel depot. Is that something that would be completed and usable with this? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yes,
it would. Right, that's good as well. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else? Yes, Councilman Lavaca.
So, Mark, you're going to have the pad poured and have all the plumbing ready for the building to start, but the pad will just stay vacant at that time, correct?
So we wouldn't actually be pouring the foundations and the pad. We would be basically excavating and putting in the gravel that needs to be underneath of the new slab and putting extra rock so that it's a finished surface so we can park on it and use the area in the interim to we haven't actually did a final design on that building yet. We did enough work to get the footprint for it and the layout of the building. So we're comfortable with, you know, building the gravelled improvements that it needs now and then doing the final design later on when it's time to do that. And as I said, that's 4 or 5 years down the road, as I estimate right now.
In time, would it be worthwhile while it's waiting to do, depending on where we are at the end of this, a satellite that you would be able to park the vehicles under the weather still yet? It just wouldn't be an insulated, cheaper temporary structure. If that was paved all around, they would still be able to get in.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And we actually have all of those options available to us. The building that Carletti did the preliminary design work for me on was estimated at about $3 million. I kind of think that's way more of a building than we need for our purposes. We basically just need a cover and something we can put some tornado heaters in and keep it above freezing. So it's just an insulated building, really. We have a lot of work to do to get that nailed down. And this has all been kind of trying to run that project and half a dozen other things at the same time. So, and getting these drawings to design the site and do the second floor improvements has literally come down to the wire on this thing already. So we're going to have to leave those final looks at that building for later, but I'm feeling pretty strongly we can build it for half of what they've estimated it will go. Countering that, however, is this inflation that we're seeing, you know. Buildings that cost $250,000 10 years ago are now $750,000. It's just incredible what we're seeing right now.
That's so, kind of why I would be inclined to move forward with this, to have it done by September, as we're seeing an uncertain future. We're hoping that the inflation comes down within the next 12 months, but I mean, there's really no guarantees on that. And if we can get a lot of the work done now, and prepared. And I agree with Joe on getting the top of that building done for the office's purposes, because then you're only more productive going forward with the rest of what we're doing. So I would be in favor of it.
Anyone else? If not, we are looking for the first motion. Just
I'll put a motion forward to approve that mayor's approval and what you requested as far as negotiation of the next phase.
Okay, so I have a motion by Councilman Lavaca to authorize the mayor to sign the proposed change order 30 to agreement 2021-PW02 with Faber Construction Corporation in the amount of $760,031.08 plus tax. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Okay, very good. Moving on to the second authorization, Public Works Director Mark Freiberger to direct the contractor to proceed with the work under PCO 030.
I'll make a motion to move forward with that. I think right. I need to do one at a time, huh?
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. All right. Any more discussion before we move on?
So the third thing that I would request, if you're comfortable with doing it, is authorizing me to move forward with the negotiations with the contractor regarding the second floor improvements for the Public Works Operations Building, and with the ability on successful negotiations to verbally bind them so that they can order materials for that. And we'll come back to you with a full change order that will incorporate both of these plus the unknown things on PCO number 30. To you in July.
Okay. So do you want that incorporated with the second motion here to authorize you to sign?
I'll just offer a motion for you on that. Authorize Public Works Director Mark Freiberger to negotiate the second floor Public Works Operations Building improvements and to give the contractor, on successful completion of those, to give the contractor a notice to proceed for purchasing the materials for that structure.
Okay, so but first I need to finish the vote for the first, yeah, for the second one. Okay.
Oh, yeah,
so you're, all right. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, so a motion has been made by Mr. Freiberger regarding permission to order the materials to complete the second floor. Is there a motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Second?
Madam Mayor, I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion on this? Then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay.
Thank you.
Good to go. Yep. There we are. Okay, moving on to the second item under new business is the, this is a first read, approval of the amendment for agreement with Thompson, Gildner, and Associates for prosecution services. Mr. Bush.
Thank you, Mayor Johnson. Brief summary on this one. We talked about this a little bit with the American Rescue Plan Act plan that we brought forward to council previously that the council adopted. We have $50,000 included in that plan to deal with a backlog of cases we have in our municipal court. Those fall on prosecution, approximately 700 cases. And so there is a lot of extra effort needed in the area of the city prosecutor to be able to move those cases, process those cases into the court system. To give you a frame of reference, it's approaching 3 years worth of cases that represent the backlog by the estimate of the prosecutor. And we think this is a fair resolution. So what's in the city's American Rescue Plan Act plan is the $50,000, which would be spread across the second half of this year, just allocated out on a monthly basis to help deal with the extra costs that our prosecutor is dealing with in essentially having some full-time staff work their way through these cases. And we would go from there. So that's really what's before council. The mechanism for doing that is an amendment to our overall contract, but specific to prosecution with the city attorney who also handles prosecution. So that's what you have in terms of the actual mechanism. And you can see from what's written there that this would bring the prosecution amount per month up to $8,333 for the second half of the year.
Okay.
Happy to take any questions. And if the council wants more information between now and the next meeting.
This is a first read, so there's no action required tonight. Are there any questions for Mr. Bush? Or we move? Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to verify. We've checked with Thompson, Gildner, and Associates to make sure they can handle the extra caseload.
Yes. In fact, they are presently handling the extra caseload. So they've already really dug into this.
And when is that contract up?
The contract, it continues to run, but it's one that can be terminated by either party. So it doesn't.
Is it yearly or quarterly or at any time?
Well, yeah, really at any time with number of months notice. And I'd have to look at the contract specifically to tell you how many months notice.
Okay.
But certainly it ties to the budget every year.
Right.
Mr. Charlie, how many attorneys do we have working for the city?
That's a complicated question.
Prosecutors and city attorneys and consultants and all that.
Well, we have a city attorney primarily assigned to us, and we have a prosecuting attorney who works for this in the same firm as the city attorney assigned to us. One of the benefits of contracting with a firm is you get the benefits of the various attorneys that work for that firm and whatever their subspecialties are. So depending upon the topic, and we typically work with those two attorneys, but depending upon the topic, we may work with some other attorneys as well. I can think of three off the top of my head. There may be a few more in total.
Okay.
We're not using like Bill McCann or Jeff McCann or any of them anymore.
He retired. Bill retired. Bill retired.
Oh, okay. Well, Jeff's still there. So anyway, it's just that one team then, basically.
We're working primarily with that one team. There is some litigation in which the city's involved, where there's some other.
Oh, well, that's different. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Lavalca, did you have a question?
I did. With the backlog, is there any of them that are I don't want to say anything's trivial, but trivial where it's not worth it to pursue. Is it litigation or is it criminal?
It varies, and they're going through each of those cases one by one. That's really their responsibility to make sure that, for a variety of reasons, that each one is looked at. Some of them may be too old, frankly, to pursue, but there are processes they need to go through to address each one of them, at least to look at them and evaluate them. So I can get you more detail on that. I don't have, of course, specific numbers.
How long do you think it would be to get fully caught up?
It could take a while. Yeah, I'd prefer to ask. I can bring that answer back to you. I don't know off the top of my head.
Thank you.
Curly, and it might be that I can help out.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure. So big picture view is that our office, when we took over prosecution, we had sort of assumed that the numbers would be under 300 cases per year. And the new cases have really shown that estimate was accurate. We're at about 22 on average new cases per month, which puts the total at around 260 to 300 per year. When we took over prosecution from the previous prosecutor, we received a spreadsheet of 743 cases. Since that time, starting January 1st, we've also discovered 60 additional cases that were not in the spreadsheet. We have been processing those and inputting them into our system. And at this point, January and February, we spent almost all of the man hours for two different individuals, an attorney and a paralegal, on Cedra Woolley prosecution. Basically from that point on, we've just been processing the cases as they come up onto a court calendar, and trying to stay ahead of the game that way. But we still have a significant number of cases on that spreadsheet that we don't know what the status is because we've been spending all of our time trying to keep up with the current caseload. I think we've processed around 200 from the 743 cases plus the 60 cases. So combined, we're over 800 cases with those. And like Charlie said, if the numbers are correct, if the numbers are stay the way that they have been, 300 cases per year, 800 cases is close to 3 years of backlog. Does that answer the question? Is there other questions? I can certainly try and field them.
It does in a way. I'm wondering on the, that's a pretty large amount of caseload. Is the 50,000 would go to somebody that would overview, just get a good glimpse of the backlog and see if any of them are fairly trivial that we can move off by letting go of, or are we pursuing doing the legal process on each and every one of them? And how long do you think that would take?
So I can't give you an answer of how long it will take, because certainly we're continuing to process the current cases as well. The intent is to go through the 743 cases that were on that spreadsheet and figure out which of them may be outside of the statute of limitations, which of them may in fact be trivial, which of them we could send to community court, which of them we should pursue harder. But again, we're also working with the current caseload as well. So we're trying to catch up as quickly as we can. But again, with that kind of backlog, and it's difficult to put all of my firm's resources into processing these when we settled on a fairly low number, and the load was unexpected. So.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. McGoffin.
Thank you. I just had a couple of questions. Do we have someone that has an oversight of the caseload? I mean, I'm just a little bit surprised that we're almost 2 years in a backlog when we were paying somebody, correct, previously to handle all these cases. Was that because of COVID? Do we know why we had such a huge backlog? It sounds like our current contract, they can handle that caseload and additional cases. I would just like to know, is there an oversight from the city of, are they fulfilling their contract? And kind of how did we get to this point?
Yeah, certainly oversight from the city comes from the city administrator for both this and public defense. I can't really speak to entirely to how we got here, but certainly COVID was a factor in getting there. And that's the answer to your question as best as I can provide it. Yeah.
It's not uncommon at this point to have fairly significant backlogs due to COVID. And, you know, frankly, there are a number of communities that are hiring temps to deal with the backlog or bringing in pro tems. So it's not an uncommon thing at this point because of COVID. But I'm not saying that's the only reason for the backlog.
Okay, if there are no more questions, this is a first read. It'll be coming back to us on the 6th or the 13th, Charlie?
On the 13th.
All right. We look forward to seeing it then. If you have any more questions, please feel free to reach out to Charlie or even to Nikki. Okay, moving on to our third new item of business, which is the sole source declaration and approval of purchase order 2022 PO12, WWTP rotary screen spiral assembly replacement. Mr. Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. Me again, I'm sorry. Our wastewater treatment plant, as we've discussed over the months, is now 22 years old, and we have equipment that is just wearing out. And so we can expect to see a number of these things, kind of replacements, come to us. Much of the equipment in the wastewater treatment plant is basically custom-built product. And so if you have a wear part that fails, you have to go back basically to the original source in most instances to fill the order. It's kind of a captive audience or a captive customer in our case for that. And that's the case with these rotary screens that we have. There are two of those mounted on top of the Headworks building. They're the long tubes you see when you drive by the plant down there. They have basically a Archimedes screw inside of them that carries the wastewater up to a higher elevation, and it screens the material and gets the grit and other things out of it. There's a second screen in the process afterwards as well. These two screens we've worked on in the last 10 years, a time or two. We replaced one of these on the other one about 4 years ago. Now this one literally broke in half. And so they are duplex. We have two of them so that, and each of those can handle the whole flow of the plant. So fortunately, as long as you have one, you're still able to operate, but we want to make sure and get it back in service as soon as possible. So we got a quote from Parkson, the company that represents the manufacturer of these screws, and that's what's represented in the draft purchase order that's also attached to the sole source declaration, requesting of council's approval of the sole source resolution that will allow us then to place this order and get that equipment coming. Fortunately, they have one in stock, one unit in stock, and so they've committed to us not to sell that until we get this order placed, hopefully, you know, tomorrow. That's the genesis behind all of that. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to address those.
Any questions for Mr. Freiberger? If not, he is looking for a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Councilwoman Kesty, seconded by Councilwoman Diamond, to approve Resolution 1094-22, waiving competition bidding requirements and authorizing Mr. Freiberger, Public Works Director, to issue the attached purchase order 2022 PO12 for the replacement of the wastewater treatment plant spiral screw assembly. And where parts of the original equipment manufacturing aquatic in Los Angeles for the amount of $29,861 plus tax per quote of 32299 2023, dated 6/13/22. Any more questions? Okay, I got through it. Hey, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. Thank you, everyone. All right. So, my goodness, it is 7:08, and we are at the end of our council session. I am going to close this council session. However, council, we are going to move into executive session, into the room too. All right. So with that, we are adjourned.
Well, I apologize for dropping that last thing on you at the last minute.
Oh, that's fine.
I literally got the order of magnitude estimate from paper.
They find it. Please find it somewhere in its port's toll. Well, what would you do then? You have a toll company pick it up?
That's one option.
And you don't store for it by stolen
road? We don't store it for it.
My bill was like $1,200 and it was going to go keep going. It was clear down in Tacoma.
It's a pretty common practice because a tow truck takes a million.
Oh, through the mail, and every day it's like $55.
The tow company just has to, they don't have responsibility on the
if I left it, probably be more suited for it because it's a $300 trailer.
I mean, it's suited for it. Probably just.
Well, I lost it. They said, no, you owe this extra bill. It's like, you stole it, the report is stolen. You got stolen property in your lot.
Yeah, so generally what happens is you can't knock the door if it's, certainly you call the gathering
door. It's like, it's
did you get the log? The log for the rodeo? Is that happening? The log?